Well, what a beautiful day for baseball today. Game two of this conclusion of the three-game series, A's and Giants. Susan Slusser joins us from the Chronicle. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Marty?
Very good. What a game last night. And, you know, you've seen it so many times, so have I. When the place gets filled up at 40,000, I don't think there are better fans in the Bay Area than what we saw last night and what we see over in San Francisco. It was really exciting.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that I spent so much time at the Coliseum, so did you. Even when it's not full, even when it's a small crowd, it's really loud. You get 40,000 in there, it's great. I mean, it's really tough to beat. I know, you know, it's maybe not the most beautiful building anymore. It used to be really lovely. But it is a fun place to watch baseball. There's no doubt about it. And last night was the first of what I think is going to be three pretty fun games.
Yeah, boy, it sort of matched up Starling Marte and Chris Bryant last night. Isn't that interesting that Marte really was the outstanding player and Bryant had a shot to do some damage, and that didn't happen for him last night?
Yeah, you know, things could change quickly, but man, has Marte been impressive with the A's. I mean, I've always liked him as a player from afar, you know, seeing him now in the Bay Area on a regular basis, what he's doing for that team is, I'm not sure I would have predicted quite what he's doing. I would have thought, like, hey, nice pickup at the, you know, he'll probably help you. But gracious, I mean, he's their best player right now. There's just no doubt about it. And they needed it, you know, between injuries and some underperformance here and there. And he is just, he's keeping them in it right now.
Yeah, and he can run. That's the other thing. And, you know, we've seen the A's over the years, you know, they disdain the bunt and stolen bases. You know the deal. But 14 for 14, and he does, with Harrison, gives them an element of speed.
Yeah, I mean, he created a run by himself almost last night. You know, first he drives in the run with the double, then he steals third and scores on the error. I mean, he's just creating chaos. And the range in the outfield is great. This is just a really good, fun player. And I think that he is going to have more to say during this series, and certainly with what the A's do the rest of the way from here.
Well, he's 7-for-10 with a homer against Gausman. So we'll see what happens today. But, hey, Flores just crushed the ball. I like Flores. And, you know, he's sort of an unsung hero. You know, Longoria has been out so much, and Flores really has been the third baseman, not the second baseman at all. But maybe he doesn't get his due. Flores is a heck of a player. He almost got killed last night on the steal of third when Marte went into him. But he hit the ball that Marte caught at the wall. Talk about Flores a little bit. I like the season he's having.
I do, too. And, you know, he's one of those, when we talk about the Giants and the number of role players they have had that have stepped up, and really, you know, enabled them to succeed this year. He's right at the top of the list, but you're right. We don't tend to mention him. We, you know, Lamont Wade was sort of a surprise, you know, after getting picked up with very little fanfare, and Kirk Casale changing, you know, kind of the course of his season. Wilmer Flores is just so steady. I think now everyone expects that he, when he's in the lineup, he's going to produce. He's going to play pretty well at any position you put him in defensively. He's just a good, valuable, all-around player who accepts his role. I was chit-chatting with Sergio Romo before the game yesterday, who's as delightful as always. And he said, hey, this Giants team really reminds me of some of the great Giants teams that I was on, because they have a lot of really great role players who understand their roles and accept them. And you know what? He didn't mention Flores by name, but he might as well. He's like the poster boy for that. But yeah, that play at third, Marty, you're right. You know, he gets basically run over. And I thought, oh, gosh, here they go. They had another guy on the IL. And he just kind of bounced up, and he didn't even look shaken up. It didn't look like he'd been run over. He's, you know what? He's actually a pretty big guy, you know. And I'm surprised by that. I always thought of Wilmer Flores when he was with the Mets as being a little slighter, maybe, you know, and he's not. He's a pretty sturdy guy. So Giants maybe dodged a little bit of a bullet there, because yes, this is a very, very valuable player for them.
But it's interesting, Romo. It was fun to see him, and you know, he had the at bat with Posey, and Posey got the base hit, and then, you know, he sort of laughed at him and threw his hand at him. But Romo did a nice job in the eighth inning.
Romo's been good for them. He got you know, off to a little bit of a rocky start, but he's come back around. And I tell you, this guy, he just knows how to pitch, and he has fun at the same time. Who doesn't love watching Sergio Romo and some of his antics? But he was telling me that when the A's were playing a couple of weeks ago, and he had to face Abreu, and he's just throwing, rearing back and throwing as hard as he can. He said a bunch of his pals from the Rays texted him afterwards and said, hey, we were watching your game on TV. Were you just, like, giving it all out there or, like, throwing the fastball? And he said, like, yeah, man, like, that was everything I have, just rearing back. And they were like, yeah, you know, you were throwing 85 miles an hour.
So. Yeah, you still got the break. The ball breaks and people roll over on it. They still do. Yeah. It's amazing. Hey, Gausman goes today, and as I said in the open, look, you look at his season numbers, they just jump off the page. Runners in scoring position, I love that one. You know, 11 for 96. But he just hasn't been the guy as he was earlier in the year. What's up with Gausman? DeSclafani, of course, we think he'll be back, just an ankle bruise. Cueto's in the DR on a personal matter, and he's going to rejoin the club. But what about Gausman today?
Yeah, Marty, seems like the last few times we've talked, we keep talking about, you know, little sort of niggling concerns with the starting pitching and the depth there. And Gausman still isn't quite where he was early in the season. Hey, it's a long season. Everyone's tired. It was a short season last year. I think a lot of pitchers throughout the league are showing some signs of fatigue. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's what's going on with a lot of the little bit of dip in performance that we've seen with some of these guys. But Gausman is so important for them. We love the fact that Logan Webb has turned into really sort of almost the ace of the staff at this point. But it's really Gausman, and he needs to pitch like it. It's just, I think, a matter of a little bit of tinkering to get that nasty split back. You know, he's using the split. It's not like it's disappeared. It just doesn't have quite the same action that it did before. And he just, you know, he needs to sharpen it up a little. There is nobody working harder on that. He went through a lot, you know, All-Star game, then immediately going home for a family emergency, flying back, and then going back out on paternity leave. Between that and a long season after a short season, it's very understandable. But the Giants need him.
Yeah, they do, and it's the command of that split. They lay off it, and then the fastball is still excellent. He throws 96, 97, and he can get it up in the strike zone, and that's where you want to put it. So we'll see what happens today. But you brought up a good point, and you've been covering baseball for so many years. It's August, and they call it the dog days. Have you looked at the numbers and the innings that some teams have put up? I mean, the Angels are down 10-2 and, you know, end up winning the game. And we see 6 runs in an inning, 8 runs in an inning, 5 runs in an inning. I mean, this is the time of year, I guess, it happens.
It is. And I mean, I think that's always been the case. Maybe in past years, September probably is more likely when we see that. Some of that was always roster expansion, which this year will certainly not be as dramatic. And, you know, some teams making trades and unloading guys at the deadline. A lot of different factors. But I think this year we really can say that a lot of it is just fatigue. After DeSclafani is probably the best example of this, right? I mean, he threw 33 innings last year. He's over 130 this year. That's a huge difference for a pitcher, and he's never going to make any excuses about it. He's delighted to be in the rotation, and, you know, what a great first half plus he had for this team. But, he's looked a little tired. So, you know, the ankle thing was just kind of a freak thing. Hopefully the cortisone shot takes care of that. I made me a little nervous to hear that it was a result of pitching and not maybe getting stepped on at first base or what have you. But the cortisone shot works. He's gotten a little extra rest. Maybe he kind of snaps back into what the Giants are seeing more in the first half. And I think Cueto's fine. I think he also just needed a little bit of a break. And the question is going to be who starts that first game in New York? Because right now, I'm not sure Cueto would be able to do that. And DeSclafani is a big question mark.
No, they're going to have to bring someone up or make it a bulb. Say, where's Sammy Long these days? Get the white courtesy telephone for Sammy Long.
Hey, that's his day to pitch. So he is on turn to start that day, and I would say that's probably a pretty good bet at this point.
Yeah, I could see that happening. How do you like what's going on in San Diego? I don't know if you saw any of the game last night, but Padres loaded. They're down 4-2. They load the bases in the eighth inning. Ian Kennedy hits Tatis in the head and forces in a run, makes it 4-3. Then he gets out of the inning with a lot of controversy. And they lose again, and Cincinnati wins, and now San Diego-Cincinnati tied for the wild card. How about that?
Yeah, this is not the season San Diego was planning on, hoping for, especially after loading up the way they did. They're such a talented team, and I don't think anybody's discounting them as a potential playoff team with a talent. But that franchise has just been so frustrating, I think, for the fan base for so long. You know, they look close. They make the right moves. Part of it is they're in a division that's always going to be really good. You know, there are smart people at the top in L.A. and San Francisco. They are teams with good resources. You know, the other teams, even though they're having down seasons, that they often are teams that can contend. So it's tough for the Padres. But, yeah, I think this fan base has got to be, you know, they've got one of the best players in the game and some high-priced and very good players elsewhere. It's rough to explain, you know. They're a little bit like the Mets some years, where they spend enough money, they do the right moves, and it just seems like it's some sort of disaster one after another.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen for him. Hey, you wrote in your game story today, which was excellent, about Yastrzemski. You know, he did hit the home run last night. He made a bad throw to the plate that put Harrison in second base. It didn't cost the Giants. But you can't do that in playoff games and tight games. But you did write a lot about him and the struggles he's had.
Yeah, you know what? I meant to ask him about that throw. And also, Belt had a chance to cut it off and didn't. I, you know, it's so borderline. It winds up not hurting him. You know, the run doesn't score. But,
right.
Yeah, he's been the toughest player for me this year to explain, because he looks so close so many times to just maybe really going off. And I think everyone knows when Yastrzemski's right, he can carry a team for a while. It just quite hasn't happened. I think he's not 100%. And I asked Kapler about that yesterday, and he said, yeah, you know, this time of year, everybody's kind of dinged up. And nobody's going to make excuses, and certainly they're not. But the timing just has not quite been there. And I also asked about how the league's pitching him, because it's clear that it's different. You know, he's seen less than 50% fastballs for the first time in his career. He's getting a lot more breaking stuff. He's not doing quite as much with it, as Grant Brisby pointed out in The Athletic. Sliders are particularly giving him trouble, and it's the two strike pitches that he's really struggling with. I mean, everybody's kind of like looking deep into the numbers to see what it is. And I asked Yastrzemski about that last night, you know, like, you know, you're not getting as many fastballs. You're not doing, you know, kind of the same damage on breaking stuff. And he said, we are trained to hit every pitch. Like, I'm working on it. Like, I kind of know this is going on, and I got to be better. So he's working on some things to see the ball better. He thinks that's a little bit of it, and to make sure that he's hitting the right pitch when he gets it. And we saw what happened when he does last night. He gets a fastball down the middle, and it goes out in a hurry. He did not miss that.
Yeah.
You know, he's batting ninth, obviously, American League Park, first time in his career. But, yeah, of course, he's usually not an option. But I've had fans tweeting at me like he should be on the bench and blah, blah, blah. This is not a guy who is a role player. He's an everyday player. He's a very good player. The defense alone, but also the great at bats. Even if his numbers aren't there, he is doing great things for everyone else in the lineup with some of the at-bats he has. Similar to Tommy La Stella, who can go 0-for and really change the course of the game because he's going to get that opposing starter out earlier, as we saw, you know, over the last few, you know, week or two since he's been back. But Yastrzemski is going to turn it around. It's not like the talent has gone away. It's in there, and it's going to be back. And I think if he is right in September, he could be a real difference maker.
Yep, I agree. If he could get it together, but boy, that high fastball, and when he does get a fastball, it's up, and he has trouble dealing with it. So, yeah, that's adjustments. That's what they do. Hey, a couple of things happened last night at the Coliseum. One, a couple of awards were given out. Ron Bergman, they've created an award for Bergie, and it goes to a sports writer who covers baseball of excellence, and Pedro, the late Pedro Gomez, got the first one. But maybe you can let the fans know who Ron Bergman was, because he was one of a kind, Susan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know if it really counts, but Berge sort of got the first one when they named the award for him. There was a little ceremony, which was wonderful. And I got to say, and I'm speaking to somebody who's written two books about the A's. Ron Bergman wrote the best book ever about the A's. And there are tons of great ones out there. But Ron Bergman's Mustache Gang, which is out of print, but try to find it if you can, about the 70s era A's that he covered, is spectacular. Just the stories he got. You know, this was back in the era where reporters, particularly reporters with big personalities who like to have a drink after a game, would hang out with the players. So he heard just crazy stuff. He saw crazy stuff, all the fights, you know, and his stories were just great. Nobody better to go to dinner with. But, you know, he played bridge with the guys, you know. He was like a regular bridge partner. Again, different era, obviously, but, man, he was really special and a whole barrel of fun. And that was great because his family got to come in. It was really nice to see the A's honor Pedro. Pedro made such a difference for so many people, just a really unique guy. One of the first baseball writers who also sort of then made a name for himself on TV and did a great job there and really advocated and mentored persons of color in sports writing and sports casting. Really a special man and lovely to see that. I wish they could have done like a really full ceremony with some of the COVID restrictions. I think they were a little limited in some of the stuff they could do, but it was nice to see his son Dante out there. Mm-hmm. And his other son Rio is busy playing minor league baseball. So right. I think we will be hearing a lot about Gomez's in the future too.
Well, I think you're going to get this award. If it's not next year, you will get it, believe me. So you deserve it.
I don't know. Going over to cover the Giants, I don't think goes over too well.
Trust me, they are never going to forget all the years you put in, believe me. The other one, I commended your boss last night, Christina Zaccaro. Did I pronounce it correct?
Christina Zaccaro, yes.
Yeah, so she tweeted out after the three walks that Caprillion gave up that it looked like Tommy Byrne. Come on, Tommy Byrne was Charlie Silvera's friend, and he was a pitcher for the Yankees in the 50s, and, you know, he would walk 12 and strike out 9 and hit a home run and win the game. And Caprillion walked 3 in a row, and she mentioned Tommy Byrne. I said it today in the open. That impressed me. She knows her baseball.
Hey. Christina was one of the founders of Baseball Prospectus. She knows way more about baseball than I think I will ever in my lifetime. She's absolutely amazing. And I can't tell you how wonderful it is to have a boss who's deeply knowledgeable and invested in baseball and baseball coverage. I've had a lot of great bosses. Glenn Schwarz was also a major, major baseball guy, of course, and had covered the A's and Giants as a writer himself. But Christina's next level with the baseball knowledge. And she drops stuff like that all the time.
Come on.
The only problem I have with a boss who knows more about baseball than I do is that she's got like all these crazy great ideas. I'm like, I can't execute all of these amazing ideas you have. She's fantastic.
Well, she's got my respect. Boy, we got so much more to talk about. Monty Moore, I want to talk about that, and you wrote a beautiful story about Harleen Garcia. So we'll catch up maybe next week. I appreciate
it. That sounds like a great plan. Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Sue. I always love talking ball with Susan Slusser. All right. More coming up. Mark Abanez is going to join Bill. Of course, Mark Abanez is a dear friend of this show and of baseball, and he's been the sports director of Channel 2 for years. And he's going to talk ball, the Bay Bridge Series with Bill, right after this. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.